Take your Bible this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 28, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Matthew chapter 28, of course we're talking, this is the Resurrection Day. This is the day that we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ coming up from the dead. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 says this, "And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said to the women, Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen from the dead." And those are the greatest words that's ever been uttered on this earth for us human beings. Because everything we preach, listen, everything we teach, everything we believe, everything we do, the reason we're here, everything worship, everything about everything about everything about everything about the Christian faith hinges on one thing, whether Jesus Christ came up from the dead. I mean, we come here this morning, we say amen, and we can sing He's alive, He's alive, and we can sing Victory in Jesus, and we can get all excited about it, Brother Ben, and we can go to the fast food and give and stand up and give our testimony and give out tracts and do all the... But listen, the truth of the matter is, if Jesus Christ did not come up, we're all wasting our time. It's a joke, man. I mean, if Jesus Christ didn't come up from the dead, you're looking at some of the biggest fools in the state of Alabama in here this morning. And that's what Paul said. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I mean, if Jesus Christ did not come up from the dead, brethren, this whole thing that we preach and teach and dedicate and tithe and do everything we do is a joke. It's a fraud. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll pick it up verse 14. He says this. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 14. "If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain." Vain means it's useless, it's wasted. "And your faith is also vain." Verse 15, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up. If so be the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they which are asleep, fallen asleep in Christ are perished." All the people that we buried, all the loved ones we buried, if Jesus Christ didn't come up from the dead, they're just sitting in there. There's nothing left. Paul says, verse 19, he sums it up. He says, in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. Paul said, if all we got hope, and that Jesus Christ didn't come up, we're of all men most miserable. Everything we believe, preach, teach, everything about everything of the Christian faith is hinged on one thing, and it's hinged on the fact that Jesus Christ came up from the dead. And I want to preach a little message this morning. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to give you four reasons why I believe that Jesus Christ is alive today. You say, now preacher, are you serious? I mean, you're trying to tell me that you believe a man that walked this earth 2,000 years ago was buried in the ground. You believe that that same man is alive today? Yes, ma'am, I do. Yes, sir, I do. I believe Jesus Christ literally is alive today. I believe that man that walked this earth 2,000 years ago and over there in Israel, they buried him and he put him in the ground. I believe, just like it said, he rose again the third day, and I believe he's alive today. Just like Brother Dalton sang, he's alive today. The whole, everything we believe depends on that. Buddha's body is cremated and placed over in Sri Lanka.
Muhammad's body's buried over in Midian in the house of Asia. Confucius' body's in the home of Kufa. Mormonism, Joseph Smith is buried in Illinois. Baha's buried in Baha near Israel. All these leaders have one thing different. Every one of them knows where their body's at. But listen, if they could find the body of Jesus Christ, if they could find one bone of Him, our religion wouldn't be worth preaching. It all depends on He came up from the grave. And I want to give you four reasons this morning why I believe that Jesus Christ is alive today. I want to say, first of all, I believe that Jesus Christ is alive today because the testament of the Scriptures. The testament of the Scriptures. You know what we call the Scriptures? We call them the Old and the New Testament. You ever thought about why do they call them that? You know what the word testament means? It means fact. It means proof. It means authentic. It means truth. When we want to prove somebody and we want to find out if they're telling the truth, whether they got the knowledge, you know what we do? We test them. That's what it means. It means the testament. It means they've been tried. It means they've been true. The testament of God is the Old and the New Testament. I believe it because of the testament of the Scriptures. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 says this: "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." It said they've been tried in the furnace of earth. This book has been attacked. It's been tried. It's been tested throughout history, brother. And I'm going to tell you, it's still alive. It's still the champion. And nobody can make a dent in it, brother. This country's united. They've taken it out of schools. But it's still the most loved book in the world. I want to tell you, I believe the resurrection of Jesus because the testament of the Scriptures. I believe this Bible. This Bible right here is still the testament of truth right here. If you go to court, even right now in this country that's denied the Bible and all that kind of stuff, but if you go in court, and I've served in jury a few times, if you go there, when they call that person up, they'll take and ask them to put their hands on the Bible, and they'll say, "Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth?" You say, why? This is the truth right here. And everybody knows it. I want to say I believe the resurrection of Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ is alive today because the testament of the Scriptures. Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. I remember years ago, I was at about 5 years ago, I was at Adamson Ford getting my oil changed over downtown. I was working at Baptist still at the time. There on my lunch break, and I was there getting my oil change, just sitting there, and I was in the waiting room and gave some people a track. And there was a Chinese guy. You know, you never know, Miss Martha, who's saved and who's not. Because this guy, he was dressed up. He looked like a dude, man. I mean, he looked like a CEO of a company, this Chinese guy. And he was over there with his computer, sitting there and had some papers going through. And I thought, oh, this guy, he's not going to be interested. But I went over there and said, "Sir, let me give you a little gospel tract to read." And turns out his professor of economics over at UAB, his wife was a doctor over there at UAB and everything. And this guy was saved as anybody you ever met in your life. And what a blessing he was, Brother Bean. He had a childlike faith in the Lord. And he was telling me, he said, that Bible, he pulled out his little New Testament he had with him. And he said, "I never leave. I never go anywhere that I don't have this with me." And he said, "Three times in my life," he said, "this Bible has saved my job." He was telling me one time he worked for a guy, and this guy lied about him and said some things about him, and they were getting ready to fire him, and they brought him in there with that guy. And he said, this man told me, he said he pulled out his little New Testament out of his pocket and set it there on the desk, and he told that man that was lying about him, he said, "Okay," he said, "I want you to place your hand on that Bible and tell them what you just said." And he wouldn't do it. Broke down crying. Come out. You say, why? That old Bible, they'd ridicule it, they'd mock it. But I'm going to tell you what, brother. It stood the test of time, and it's the testament of all truth. And I believe that Jesus Christ is alive today because of the testament of the Scriptures. All throughout this Bible, you know what you read about? You read about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They've been finding all kinds of discoveries of archaeology. It's unbelievable. They found the remains of Sodom and Gomorrah. They found perhaps, yeah, I read this right here, that evacuations revealed, and they said the tests show it was Sodom and Gomorrah, and they said it is exactly like the Bible described it. Exactly like it. I've got a list of archaeology discoveries here. I could give you, they found textile samples going back to the King David they found. April 2016, they found a bronze incense shovel. They said that went back to Mary Magdalene. They have found discoveries that go back to the temple of Solomon. Over and over and over. I want to tell you, I believe that Jesus is alive today because of the testament of the Scriptures. The manuscript evidence for this Bible is unbelievable. A manuscript is a handwritten copy. That's handwritten going back thousands of years. The New Testament is 2,000 years old. They've got nearly 6,000 manuscripts, Greek manuscripts, of the New Testament. 99.99999, by the way, will agree with this King James Bible. There's only two of them that those perverted Bibles go by. But all the others will match this book. It's nearly 6,000 of them. Their handwritten copy is going back to a few years that when Jesus Christ walked this earth. Let me just give you a couple of thoughts. Do you know how many copies they found of Caesar's writings? Nobody doubts Caesar's wars. They found 7 copies. They found 49 copies of Aristotle's writings. Nobody doubts Aristotle. The next one, ancient writing for his manuscripts, is the Homer's Iliad, and it's 643 manuscripts they found. They have found nearly 6,000 manuscripts of the New Testament. And brother, let me tell you, when you hold this Bible in your hand, you can rest assured that you got the very words of God. God preserved this book. I want to say I believe Jesus Christ is alive because the testament of the Scriptures. All throughout that Bible. You know what you read about? You read about the resurrection. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Get John chapter 20. I believe that Jesus Christ is alive today. You say you believe a man that died 2,000 years ago is living today. Yes, sir, I do. I believe he's alive. Just like little Dalton sang this morning. I forgot all about that song. That was perfect, wasn't it, Miss Leah? That was perfect. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, here's Dr. Luke. Luke was a Greek historian. He was a medical doctor. He said this in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. I could give you many talking about Jesus, of whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. That was his death. After his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of him 40 days. 40 days after he was dead, the Bible said for 40 days he walked this earth. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said he appeared to 500 people at that time. Look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. What are you trying to say? I believe Jesus Christ is alive today because of the testament of the Scriptures. One of my favorite guys in all the Bible is a man named Thomas. I can relate to Thomas. I can't relate to Paul. Not at all. I can't really relate to Peter. But old Thomas, me and him, Brother Don, we'd get along pretty good. Because I have doubts sometimes too, don't you? Don't you wander around a little bit? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God. Sometimes I just kind of want to see it. That's the way Thomas was. Look at John chapter 20, verse 24. John chapter 20, verse 24. And Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." He said, "Except I should see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe." Thomas said, "I want to see it. I don't believe he's alive." And after 8 days again, the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. He just walked through the wall and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said Peter, "Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust in my side. Be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Thomas said, "Yep, it's him. It's the one." I want to tell you, my friend, I believe that Jesus Christ is alive today because the testament of the Scriptures. John chapter 21, verse 31 says this, or verse 25. John 21, 25 says this, John writing, "I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written about the Lord Jesus." I believe that Jesus Christ is alive today because the testament of the Scriptures. I believe they stood the test of time. I want to say this morning, I believe that Jesus Christ is alive today because of transformation of the apostles. Think about this a minute. Let's go back a few thousand years. Let's take a time trip for a few thousand, 2,000 years, and let's go back to that fateful night, that night they came to Jesus Christ, and they had that crowd led by Judas Iscariot who betrayed him. That dark night in Gethsemane that night, and the Bible said they came there with staves, and they came with lanterns, and they came there to get Jesus Christ. And that dreadful night, those 12 men that walked with him. And the Bible said in Mark chapter 14, verse 50, it says, and they all forsook him and fled. That night, here they were, they followed this man for 3.5 years. And then they come and got him that night. The Bible said they all forsook him and fled. They went riding and hiding. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I believe that Jesus Christ is alive today because of the testament of the Scriptures. I believe the testament of the Scriptures. I believe that Bible from cover to cover. I believe the cover. Holy Bible. I believe it with all my heart, body, soul, and spirit. You can shake me on some things, but that Bible, I don't think so. Not as long as I got my right mind, brethren. There in Matthew chapter 26, I believe Jesus is alive today because of the transformation of the apostles. That night they came and got him. The Bible said they all forsook him and fled. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I shall go before you into Galilee. Verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men should be offended because of thee, yea, will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. Peter said, Jesus said, I'm fixing to be crucified this day. And he said, this day you'll all deny me. And Peter said, listen, Lord, if it got to the point of death, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Not that night. Brother, they came and got him. That night. And the Bible said they all forsook him and fled. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 69. Here these men were. They'd walked with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, Miss Martha. They had saw him, Miss Liz, raise Lazarus from the dead. He'd been dead for 4 days. They saw that this man could. They saw him feed 5,000 with a few fishes and a few loaves. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him stand out and calm the raging storm. They put everything they believed and staked their lives and left everything, left their jobs and their families, and followed this man. And they believed this man was a Messiah. They believed he was the one. Peter said to Nathan, come, we found the Messiah. Come and see, it's him. We found him. But that night, something happened. Oh, that they believed in Miss Rachel. Everything they'd staked that night. That night they took Jesus Christ and took him away like a common criminal, and he ended up crucifying on a cross as a curse of God. And that night, they all forsook him and fled. Remember old Peter, Lord, they deny me. I'll deny you. He said, Lord, I'll never deny you. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 69. All their hope was completely destroyed that night. That awful night, everything they believed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, cursed be he that hangeth on a tree. Deuteronomy chapter 21, 23 said, for he that hangeth on a tree is accursed of God. Jesus Christ, everything they believed and followed this man. That night, Miss Martha died a curse as a criminal, the blasphemer between two thieves. And they all ran and forsook him. Matthew 26, 69. Here's Peter. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came up to him, saying, there also was with Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Galilee. And he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him. These are little girls. And said unto him, there was there this fellow also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied him with an oath, I do not know the man. After a while came unto him. And they that stood by said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. And he began to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crowed. Hey, listen at night, brother. Peter didn't know what was going on. Everything they believed had been crucified as a curse. And the Bible said, they all forsook him and fled. Go back, Peter! Go back to that old world, he's dead! Peter, he died on the cross between two criminals as a curse of God. John chapter 21 over there, Peter says over there, I go a fishing. You know, Peter was saying, I'm going back to that old life. Jesus is dead, folks. He's dead! It's over, guys! Go back, John! Go back, Andrew! Go back! Go back, Matthew! Go back! He's dead! It's all over! And they begin to run and hide. And why shouldn't they? Their hope was dead. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I believe that Jesus Christ is alive today. In Acts chapter 2, I believe it because of the testament of the Scriptures. I believe it because of the transformation of the apostle. There was those men. Listen, my friend, these men were not religious zealots. These men that God called them, He called common, ordinary men. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They weren't religious men. They weren't zealots. These are just normal men that God called. But look in Acts chapter 2. These same men that run and hid. They're back in Jerusalem. They're back in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and miracles and wonders and signs which God did you in the midst of you, as you also have known Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. You've taken Him by wicked hands. You've crucified and slain Him. God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Look at verse 32. But this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. What in the world changed these men? These men that a few days earlier than Miss Rachel, they had run and hid and forsook Him and fled. Now they're back in the same place, Jerusalem, and said, He's alive. You crucified Him by wicked hands, but God hath raised Him back. There's the transformation of the apostles. These same men that a few days earlier were scared rabbits, they're back in Jerusalem as bold lions. What in the world could have changed these men? What changed these men so drastically? I want to say, friend, there's only one event in the history of this world that could have changed those men. And that's an empty tomb. An appearance of a man called Jesus. These men were not religious zealots. They didn't have an agenda, brother. These men, they were taken, beaten in Acts chapter 5. They were beaten and they told them not to speak again in His name. And the Bible says they went out rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame in His name. What had changed these men? Acts chapter 4, verse 20. It said they were beaten. And Peter said, we cannot help but speak the things we've seen and heard. What in the world had these men seen? Friend, I want to tell you, there's only one event in the world that ever could have done it with these men, changed their lives. And that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. These men later on, my friend, they all died a martyr's death. Peter was crucified upside down. He said he couldn't be worthy to be crucified like his Lord. And these men all died a martyr's death. My friend, you say, what in the world would have done it? I want to tell you, there's only one event that could have done it. And that was the fact that Jesus Christ was alive. I believe Jesus Christ is alive today because of the testament of those Scriptures. I believe He's alive today because of the transformation of those apostles. Those men later died and set their life. There's a great book written by a man named Simon Greenleaf. Simon Greenleaf was a man that put the Harvard Law School on the map. He's the one that wrote the three volumes of the legal volumes of legal treatise of law that's used in all the courts in the United States. He's considered the father of a modern day court, Simon Greenleaf. He is an atheist in his classes, Miss Rachel. He thought Christianity was a joke. He had some Christians there in his class. And they dared Simon Greenleaf. They said, "Dr. Greenleaf, why don't you take your three volumes of legal law and evidence, and why don't you apply it to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and disprove it?" Brother Ben, he thought it was a joke. He thought that was a joke. He didn't believe it anyway. They kept haunting him and prodding him, and finally he did it. And he wrote a book called The Testament of the Evangelist on the evidence of the resurrection. And in the process, he committed his life to Jesus Christ. He said in the book, he said this. This is one of the greatest legal scholars that ever lived. Talking about the apostles, he said they had every possible motive to review carefully the grounds of their faith and the evidence of the great facts and truths which they asserted, and these motives were passed upon their attention with the most melancholy and terrific frequency. In other words, they could have denied it any time, but they wouldn't do it. And he said this, quote, "It was therefore impossible that they could have persisted in affirming the truth after that they had narrated had not Jesus Christ actually risen from the dead, and had they not known this fact as certainly as they knew any other fact." Simon Greenleaf goes on to say that based upon the law and the legal evidence, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most proved fact in all of history. I believe it this morning because the transformation of the apostles. I believe it this morning because the testament of the Scriptures. I want to say this morning, I believe it because the travesty of the skeptics. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the most attacked events in history. More books have been written about the resurrection than any other subject. And most of them are attacking it. We had a TV show here a few years ago called The Lost Tomb of Jesus. And I got a whole article on my website. I call it The Lost Mind of Discovery. Discovery put it out. It was a joke, but it was all over the news. And I got quotes here. I'm not going to go into it. Lack of time this morning. But then he had the Gospel of Judas. The Gospel of Judas claims that Judas and Jesus got together in the Gospel of Judas. And it was a scheme. And Jesus never really died. And him and Judas got together and planned this thing out. They got all kind of attacks. One of the most popular is called the swoon travesty, the swoon theory. In the swoon theory, they say that Jesus Christ didn't actually die on the cross, but he went into a coma. He went into a coma, Miss Martha, and they put him down in the grave. Let me tell you what they do in this burial process. Before they put Jesus in the tomb, Brother Ben, they put a napkin on his face. They'd cover their face with a napkin like that. Keep it off their face. And they'd wrap them in linen cloth. And then they'd take aromatic spices. That's what the ladies brought that day. And they'd take that aromatic spices. There'd be about 100 pounds of aromatic spices. And they'd cover that body in that aromatic spices to help keeping the body from decaying and composition. It'd be about 100 pounds. And they took Jesus Christ and they put him in that tomb for 3 days. And I guess he just breathed through the whole thing, Miss Martha. I guess Yankee just like a plaster of Paris on him. I guess he just breathed through that whole thing. And even though the Bible says that he was beaten, Isaiah said his visions were more marred than any other man. It said the soldier stuck a spear in his side. Out came blood and water, which any nurse knows the separation of blood and water. It means death. And all that. And he placed him in a tomb after all that. And wrapped him in that. And then these dummies say, well, he just swooned and got up and walked out. Not only that, they had 16 guards that guarded the tomb. The Bible said they set a seal and make it as sure as you can. And there were 16 Roman guards around that tomb. I guess Miss Martha, Jesus just jumped up after all he'd been through and like Superman, broke open that 100-pound plaster Paris on him. Yeah, I guess after all he'd been through, he walked over there, and there was a 4-ton rock sitting on that thing. And Jesus, after all he'd been through, Brother Chris, he went over that tomb and pushed away that 4-ton rock. And then I guess he went out there, and those soldiers, 14 Roman soldiers, he beat them up, Brother Ben, and tied them up with his linen cloth. Now let me tell you something, that'd be a bigger miracle than the resurrection right there. But that's what they say. They got the swoon travesty. They got the wrong body. Some of them say, well, hey, the ladies, they went to the wrong body. And they got the elucidation theory, Brother Don. They say that the apostles and the ladies, they were so distressed and so distraught, they just were in such a state that they started hallucinating. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15 that 500 people saw him for 40 days. Hey, if they're hallucinating that alone, they got some pretty good dope passing around. That's what they're saying. There's the travesty of the skeptics. Let me tell you something, friend. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ was not true, there were 12 men that knew it. Amen. And they all died a martyr's death. And if that body was available, Miss Martha, you know what? Those Romans would have took that body, Miss Liz, and paraded it down the road, up and down the street, because it said in the Bible these were the ones that turned the world upside down. They would have paraded that body if they had that body. But he wasn't there. There's the travesty of the skeptics. I got all kind of books on this. This is a great book here. A lot of these men tried to disprove the resurrection. This is one right here called the one of the famous ones called Who Moved the Stone by a man named Frank Morris. And he wrote it in 1930. He was a lawyer and a scientist. He thought Christianity was a joke. He said all he was going to wipe it off earth, Brother Ben. He said all I have to do is disprove the resurrection, it'll be over with. So he went over to Israel and did a very thorough study of it, Miss Martha, and was going to disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When he got over there, the book says this, that this book started off in one way, but it said it took another complete direction. When he got over there, Brother Ben, he found out the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the most proved fact in history. When he got over there, he committed his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Over and over and over. Here's a book written by Lee Strobel, The Case for Easter. Lee Strobel was a White House correspondent. He is also the editor, the religion editor for Chicago Tribune. Very, he was educated at Harvard University. He is an atheist, devout atheist. Something happened in his life. The Lord pulled a trick on him. His wife got saved. His wife got saved. And in this book he talks about, he decided to get his wife out of this religious cult and show her how false it is. And so he thought he would disprove and study the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, nothing's more ridiculous than a man coming up out of the grave. He said, there's no way that could happen. He said, when she attributed this transformation to God, I knew it was time for my journalism and legal training to thoroughly invest Christianity. Maybe I could liberate her from this cult. When he got through, here's what he said, just a few things. He said this, the disciples didn't merely believe in the resurrection, they knew it was a fact. Had they known it was a lie, they would have never been willing to sacrifice their lives for it. Nobody willingly dies for something that they know is false. They proclaimed the resurrection to their death for one reason alone, because they knew it was the truth. You say, hey, but preacher, a lot of people die for their faith. You got the Islamic bombers over there. They went to the Twin Towers and they gave their life for what they believed in. Yeah, but the difference of the apostle, the thing that they believed in, they hoped in, died on a cross. Their hope died as a curse and a blasphemer. I mean, they lost all hope. And yet those same guys went out there preaching and turned the world upside down. You say, what was it? There's only one thing, my friend, and that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to say I believe it this morning because of the transformation of the apostles. I believe it because of the travesty of the skeptics. I believe it because of the testament of the Scriptures this morning. And I want to give you one more. It's my favorite one. I believe it this morning because of the testimony of the saints. I believe it this morning
I believe without a doubt. I staked everything I own, everything I believe, my kids, my wife, everything, my money, everything I got, everything on the fact that Jesus Christ is alive today. I know He's alive today because I met Him July the 30th, 1975. Miss Martha, one Wednesday night over in Pleasant Grove, Alabama, around 7:30 one night, I got on my knees and prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come in my life, my heart, and save me from sin. And you know what He did? He did exactly that. I know He's alive today because I met Him. George W. Bush, in one of those presidential debates, they ask him that debate, they ask him, they say, who is the most influential person in your life? Without batting a eye, he said, Jesus Christ. He said, He changed my life. Amen. You see why? Billy Graham led him to the Lord one night over his house. I want to say I believe He's alive today because the testimony of the saints of God. I believe one of the best proofs of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a testimony. I think of all the friends I know. Brother Charlie Andrews coming out of an old motorcycle gang. Brother Charlie, I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and he is getting ready to go get on a plane to go to Canada to tell people about Jesus Christ to go preach. I mean, here's a guy that grew up out in prison and jails and motorcycle gang and all that. For the last 40 years, he's been going around the world literally telling people about this risen Savior. You say, what have done it? There's only one thing that could have done it, and that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. My good friend, Brother Stan Scott, Brother Al used to go to his church. He came here the last couple of times. And Brother Stan's got about 10 people in his church, Miss Martha. We got a house full compared to he does. He got 10 people, he told me. And Brother Al said the other night, he said, man, he said, it's pretty dead over there sometimes. He don't even have a piano player. Never had a piano player. Hard to have church without a piano player sometimes. And he said he don't even have anybody that can play a guitar or sing. You know, that old boy's been going for 4 years, Brother Ben, that little church. Works full time. He don't get anything from it. I mean, he's been going for 4 years, getting up Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, knocking on doors. You say, why does he keep doing it? What keeps him going? I want to tell you what it was. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe it this morning because of the testimony of the saints of God. I could go on and on and on. Brother Earl Ankrum, the former Satanist, Brother Odell Ash, Tommy Tillman, Chris Nakai. I could go on and on and on and on and on. I mean, these weren't Sunday school boys. These weren't religious. These are men that got saved and God changed them. I believe the resurrection because of the testimony of the saints. I heard a great illustration one time about an old farmer. He was in town, Miss Martha. There's some young guys talking to him and aggravating him. And they knew it was a Christian. It was Easter time. And they started prodding him, these teenagers. They said, sir, you don't really believe that stuff about the resurrection, do you? He said, yes, son, I do. He said, you mean to believe that Jesus Christ came up from the dead? They said, yes, sir, and I do. They said, you mean to believe that Jesus Christ is alive today? And he said, yes, son, I do. And they said, why in the world do you believe something like that? And he said, because I just got through talking to him a few minutes ago. You see, I just got through talking to him this morning. I know he's alive. I know he's alive because of testimony of the saints of God. Paul says over there in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, but I know whom I believe in. I know who I met that day. The Bible said, 1 Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Like a little girl one time, she's about 5 or 6 years old, she got sight. Children are amazing. They're amazing. The Bible said, out of the mouth of babes I have perfected praise. They can stab you, boy. And this little girl got saved, Brother Ben, she's about 5 or 6 years old. And these guys, they were older guys, they were trying to, this man, he's trying to mess her up. And he said, how can you know you're saved? He said, and you've heard this probably,
How can you know? He said, there's a lot of different religious leaders. There's a lot of people saying they're right. How do you know you're right and they're wrong? What makes you think you're so right? And these other religious people say the same thing about their God. And a little girl says, because mine came up from the dead.
Amen.
And now he lives inside me. In the argument right there. That'll end it all. Like little Heavenly Joy on America's Got Talent. Oh, I love that little girl. When Howard Stern asked her, when she got up there and did her little tap dance, you know. And Howard Stern said, you know what? I think you got Shirley Temple living inside you. And she said, no, Jesus lives in you.
Amen.
Woo! You know why I know he's alive? The testimony of the saints of God. That song we just sang, but I know he lives. He lives with, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. That's how I know.
Amen.
Bible said one time, his spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I'm the children of God. Let's take our hymn books. Let's turn to page 31 in the green. Let's sing He Lives this morning. Sing it like you've never sung it before. I ask you to stand this morning. This will be our invitation, whatever. Turn to the green book, page 31, He Lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Sing it like you've never sung it before. I know that He is living. Whatever man may say.
Lives today.